Good morning. My name is Barbara Heffernan. I'm counsel for the petitioner, Washington Gaslight. May it please the court. Washington Gas has brought this appeal because the commission failed to adequately address the serious safety concerns raised by the proposed expansion of the Cove Point facilities. The result of this failure is that Washington Gas has been left with sole responsibility to address the safety issues that the commission improperly dismissed. Washington Gas has not and is not arguing that the Cove Point expansion project should be rejected. When Cove Point was reactivated in 2003, approximately 15% of Washington Gas system within Prince George's County began to receive deliveries of unblended LNG. Almost immediately following reactivation of the project, Washington Gas experienced a 16-fold increase in the rate of gas leaks only in Prince George's County where the unblended LNG was being received. This case is about the remaining 85% of Washington Gas's system that will very likely receive substantial volumes of LNG because the proposed expansion will nearly double the output of the Cove Point project. The commission failed to examine how much LNG Washington Gas will actually receive in the rest of its system and failed to examine the effects that the increased deliveries of LNG will have on public safety. The commission completely abdicated its public interest obligation to ensure that this significant amount of the significant increase in LNG can be safely delivered to consumers. Instead, the commission wrongly concluded that Washington Gas can replace all of the remaining mechanical couplings in its entire system by the in-service date of the expansion project, which is later this year. There is absolutely no basis for this conclusion in the record, and to be very clear, it is not possible for Washington Gas to replace all of the remaining mechanical couplings in less than a year. The commission has justified its disregard for the safety of consumers on two principal grounds. First, the commission argues that the increase in leaks is largely attributable to deficiencies in Washington Gas's distribution system. And second, the commission argues that unblended LNG is not a substantial or a primary cause of the increased leaks experienced by Washington Gas. The record compiled by the commission does not support either of these conclusions. First, Washington Gas system is well maintained. The commission erroneously concluded that deliveries of LNG wouldn't be a problem if the system was well maintained. However, the orders identify absolutely no protocol or other rule that Washington Gas has failed to follow, and the record contains absolutely no evidence that any of the state regulators who are actually responsible for safety of the distribution system have found that the company did not properly maintain its system. Moreover, Washington Gas presented evidence which was not rebutted by any party and not considered by the commission, which established that up until 2003, when the LNG deliveries began, it had a history of leaks that was superior to most other local distribution companies in the country. Now, a lot has been made about Washington Gas's use of hot tar to seal its mechanical couplings. The commission's orders conclude that the use of hot tar damaged the couplings by reducing their sealing force. The commission further concluded that this damage occurred upon installation, which was 40 or 50 years ago. This conclusion completely ignores expert testimony presented by Washington Gas that the seals were not physically damaged. It also ignores the fact that the seals have performed adequately for 40 to 50 years. And it also ignores, it ignores the fact that these very same couplings were treated with hot tar and are located throughout the entirety of Washington Gas's system, but the leaks occurred only in Prince George's County, only after deliveries of unblended LNG.
You don't have to have a total victory on the hot tar question in order to have your petition be successful, do you? In other words, the hot tar can be a contributing factor.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And in fact, that we have never claimed that LNG, unblended LNG, is the sole factor. The commission's brief says we did. Dominion's brief said we did. That is not correct. We agree, for example, cold weather. Every local distribution in the country who operates in a climate with a winter season has more leaks in the winter. So we do not have to have a total victory on that. The commission also does not actually accuse Washington Gas of being imprudent in its use of hot tar. The commission staff, however, in the brief, does come much closer to making this accusation. In that regard, I would point out that the use of hot tar as an anti-corrosive was standard industry practice back in the 1960s when it was used by Washington Gas Light, and it was actually recommended as a anti-corrosive by one of the manufacturers of the two different sets of couplings that Washington Gas used. In addition, so we cannot be faulted, I don't think, for the use of hot tar back in the 1960s when it was standard practice. And in fact, the Maryland Public Service Commission, which again has jurisdiction over the safety and maintenance of Washington Gas's system, has concluded that Washington Gas's method of installation in the 1960s was entirely prudent, and has concluded that it was not the cause of the leaks that have been experienced post reactivation of the Cove Point project.
Could I just jump here a moment? As I understood it, the commission said it didn't rule out that this liquefied natural gas was a cause of the leaks, but it just found leak rates greater as to other factors, such as the change in pressure this hot tar. Why isn't that finding supported in the record?
Because the commission did no, we agree the commission found that did not rule LNG out as a possible contributing factor, and we likewise don't rule out other factors as being possible contributors. What the commission did not do and should have done is they should have conducted a comparative analysis of the various costs, the various factors that were identified as possible causes. They didn't do that. They concluded on the basis, we believe, of no evidence that LNG was not substantial, whereas weather, for example, was more substantial. And that the only comparative analysis in the record is the evidence submitted by Washington Gas Light of time and place, where we showed that the only thing that is unique to the area experiencing the leaks is the delivery of LNG. Weather does cause increases in leaks. A pressure change could cause an increase in leaks. The weather is the same throughout the Washington Gas Light system. The pressure is minor fluctuations, but the same throughout the system.
So then the commission says, well, your client's own evidence showed that there were these installation problems back in the 60s in this area.
Yes.
So if you fix that,
they don't show that really that there was an installation problem. They show what there's memos, internal memos from the 1960s, which by the way are not in the joint appendix, and that were conducted by were prepared by people in Washington Gas Light testing lab. They were testing couplings that were found to be leaking in the lab, and the eventual result of that was that they stopped using the couplings. They didn't buy any more, and they didn't, you know, put any more in the ground. It is not practical, or even it's not possible really, to go back and take out couplings that are already installed.
I don't think the commission said that. They just said now if you replace those.
But we cannot identify the ones that are the quote problem couplings. There are literally thousands, tens of thousands of couplings in the system.
Because your records don't show were installed.
The records do not. No, it was there were, first of all, even in this period, there were two manufacturers. There was Normac and Dresser. And in each, both are leaking. The Normac's more so, but the Dressers are also leaking. And it came in various vintages. And it's only a particular vintage that was a problem. And it is not possible to go back and look at things that were installed in the 1960s and to identify. There are not records. It is not possible to do that. And again, the more likely thing is that the ones that were problematic have actually been removed, because of course there's always a certain amount of leaking.
Does the record show what the lifespan of a coupling is? Approximately.
I don't believe it does. But, you know, we have many that have been in 40, 50, 60 years, and they are still fine. Turning briefly to the commission's second argument, which is that there's no basis for concluding that LNG is not a substantial cause. Again, the commission completely ignored absolutely uncontested evidence that unblended LNG is the only factor that's unique to the area experiencing the leaks. As I mentioned, we agree that other factors such as cold weather and increased pressure could play a role, and we don't argue that they should not be considered, but we do argue that the commission does not know the relative contribution of the various factors because it never conducted a comparative analysis. Washington Gas repeatedly asked the commission to establish procedures that would allow the causation issue to be studied and addressed. In earlier cases involving these very same Cove Point facilities, the commission did that. They issued the certificates approving the projects, but they conditioned the certificates on with a requirement that safety issues be studied and addressed. That's what we wanted here and could not get. In short, there's just no evidentiary support for the conclusion that factors other than the delivery of LNG were the primary cause of the increase in leaks. And having found that Washington Gas had raised a very serious safety issue and that they couldn't eliminate LNG as a contributing factor, the commission was obligated to do more. They needed to look further and they needed to examine the role played by each of the factors before they could allow twice the amount of LNG to be delivered and into the remaining 85% of Washington Gas's system. Finally, I point out that the commission's orders are inconsistent with prior precedent. As I just mentioned, there are at least two cases involving the Cove Point facilities where certificates were conditioned based on safety concerns. In a 1980 case involving Columbia Gas, who was a prior owner of the project, the commission established hearing procedures to resolve concerns regarding the interchangeability of domestic natural gas and LNG. The commission now says this case is distinguishable because back in 1980, interstate pipelines still owned natural gas and sold natural gas, and now they don't. Now they're just transporters. We think the ownership of gas is absolutely irrelevant to the safety issue, has nothing to do with interchangeability.
And what is your response to on rehearing where the commission says, as a result of the degradation of the coupling's ability to seal, one small change to the system, such as pressure, temperature, or change in C5 plus concentration, would have caused the increase in the leak rates?
Well, we don't think the commission's assumption in that sentence is correct, that there was a degradation of the ability to seal.
Well, I mean, there's a picture in the record showing a fat seal and then a thinner seal.
Right. That was presented by Mr. McMurray, who's the president of the company, Normac, that represents.
But I didn't see that your client disputed that change in the seal.
I don't know whether we directly responded to that picture, but we hired a total of four different expert consulting companies to examine the reasons for the increased leaks that were being experienced, and one of them, GTI, physically examined the couplings and found that they were not damaged, found that the seals were not damaged. So, and the commission does not even speak to that evidence. So we disagree with FERC's factual conclusion or factual assertion that the seals were damaged. Second case is the commission is ignoring and not being consistent with is the Cove Point reactivation case. In that case, Cove Point also was required to resolve safety issues as a condition of the certificate authorization. That decision was issued in 2002, so it cannot be distinguished on the grounds that pipelines were no longer selling gas. In short, we've got two prior cases involving the very same LNG facilities. And in both of those cases, the commission conditioned the certificate approval due to safety concerns related to gas quality. This is the same case. Safety and gas quality have been raised. Washington Gas has done more than enough in the way of presenting evidence to cause the commission to have taken a much more careful look than they did. In conclusion, Washington Gas has presented unchallenged evidence that the delivery of unblended LNG is the only factor that's unique to Prince George's County, and that the increased leaks occurred only after deliveries of unblended LNG began. The commission simply never comes to grips with this compelling evidence, and it therefore failed to engage in reasoned decision-making. Thank you.
I want to make sure that I understand your argument, because the People's Council here said it really doesn't matter, you know, who caused it or exactly why the problem is occurring. The question is whether it can go forward safely,
right,
essentially. But you seem to be arguing that there is actually a connection between this causation question, which the commission needs to figure out before it can say how it can be done safely. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. I think if I understand your question correctly, I believe that the commission needed to further, really what it needed to do is establish procedures like it had done in other cases and required the parties to work together to examine the safety issues raised by Washington Gas and to come up with a collective solution. That's what happened in the last two cases. In this case, it was entirely left to Washington Gas. We were, in essence, had to prove a negative. The Dominion, the project sponsor, was asked a single data request by the commission in this case. They could have easily been asked to provide a flow study that would have shown the commission how much of the LNG from the expanded project was likely to end up in Washington Gas Light system. That's a routine thing for an interstate pipeline to do, and the commission didn't ask them to do that. So the commission does need more evidence to determine what the right step is. And only at that point would, I think, could you get into who should do it and cost issues and so forth.
So you're not just saying you couldn't do it in 6 months, but you could do it in a year. You're saying it has to be a different sort of process.
Well, you mean the repairs, the remediation? It took a year and a half to do the replacement of the couplings in the 15% that's now getting the gas. And then this project is supposed to be online by the end of this year, I think actually even, you know, like the beginning of the last quarter of this year. And the unblended LNG could potentially be delivered to the other entire 85% of Washington Gas's system. So a year and a half to do 15%. Now, Washington Gas has been investigating, studying the use of hexane injection, because that will increase the level of heavy hydrocarbons. That's the chemical difference between LNG and domestic gas, is less heavy hydrocarbons in LNG, and that shows promise, but that's not done either. So, but under no circumstances first of all, we can't identify the couplings in the rest of the system that are likely to be the ones that would leak. So you have to wait for them to leak, then you have to replace them, and then there is the hope that the hexane will be helpful in reducing the number of leaks that have to be addressed. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll hear from Kevin.
May it please the court, my name is Judith Albert and I represent the commission. I'm going to address safety first. Safety is the commission's most important issue, often the only real issue in evaluating LNG applications. The commission takes this responsibility very seriously and will deny applications if the safety concerns are not met. And here, the commission went above and beyond its normal procedures to assure itself of the safety of the LNG operations and of the impact on the Washington Gas Pipeline operations. I would also like to point out that the commission's, of course, responds to the rehearing request and the evidence before it. The Washington Gas, on its brief and its reply brief, are now emphasizing the safety considerations, and as I stated, the commission takes these very seriously. But Washington Gas, in its rehearing request, stated twice that it will continue to take the steps necessary to protect the safety of its system and its customers. And in its rehearing request, its first specification of error had to do with the burden on it as opposed to sharing the burden among the sponsors of the pipeline project. Its next five specifications of error had to do with causation. In other words, nothing in Washington Gas's rehearing request suggests that they will not be able to take adequate measures to take care of the safety project problems that will arise.
Agree that Washington Gas offered evidence, which taken in the light favorable to it, could, or even taken in a regular light, could support the proposition that the leak rate went up demonstrably at the time that the LNG with the decreased C+5 was entered the system.
Actually, the evidence doesn't really support that. And for this, I refer you to the temperature graph at Joint Appendix 150 and the discussion of that at JA 585. That graph shows that the temperature spike, the leak spike occurred in December through March of 2003. The LNG was actually introduced into the system in August. The leak rate remained fairly stable until cold temperatures arise. Then once March came, the temperatures dropped, the leak rate dropped also. That was part of
its arrival. Now this would be consistent certainly with temperature being a cause, but when the leak rates did begin to increase, was there a difference in the parts of the system that had been the 85% that wasn't getting the LNG as against the 15% that was getting the LNG?
I believe the evidence shows that there was there's always an increase in with temperature changes, and the commission.
Now there's no question about that. But now the question that I still have, and I don't know that this graph answers it, is whether there was also an increase in relation to those sections that got the LNG as against the sections that were still transporting other gas.
I think the answer to the your question has to do with the why did the leaks occur, and the commission agrees that possibly that the addition of revaporized LNG into the system has some effect. What the commission said, though, was that that LNG would not have had that effect but for the fact that, according to the evidence in this proceeding, there's a subset of couplings on the Washington Gas system that are marginal because of the application of hot tar during their installation.
Where is the best place I would look in the record to find what the commission had to say about the evidence of correlation between the injection of LNG and the increase in leak rate?
I think the best places would be JA 578, paragraph 54. Paragraph 54, JA 584 to 585, paragraph 67, JA 596 to 97, paragraph 96.
Okay. Thank you, Council. You can go ahead.
Well, let's see. 578, paragraph 54 is what I asked Council or Petitioner about right at the end. That's where the commission says, as a result of the degradation of the couplings. All right. And you heard counsel's response. Then, let's see, you say 584, paragraph 67. That's talking about the coupling seals were damaged during installation. And you heard counsel's response to that. And then 596, you're saying? Is that right, 596?
Yes, 596 to 597, paragraph 96 in the rehearing
96.
Order.
96. And that's the point about hot tar and other contributing factors such as age, temperature, pressure had compromised a subset of couplings to the point of sealing only marginally. if the sealing ability of the couplings had not been compromised, the system would not have had an increase in leak rates after the introduction of LNG. But I thought the chief judge's question went to what was happening on the rest of the system.
There really isn't much evidence about the rest of the system in the record.
And all the evidence as to the degradation of the couplings is only in PG County?
Yes, that's correct.
So there was no hot tar applied to the couplings elsewhere?
No, there were. We would assume that there was hot tar applied.
Procedure.
It was a standard procedure for a defined set of, a period of time, basically in the 1950s and the 1960s,
in other words,
until
my
1971.
Point is, this paragraph 96, I mean, age, temperature, and pressure. I thought the implication of the question was those were existing throughout the system.
Those were existing throughout the system, and the commission's point is that the seals were marginal, and it took one any kind of a change could cause them to leak. For example, the temperature graph shows that the temperatures cause leaks to go up everywhere.
But the temperature would presumably have been the same for the other 85% of the system.
Yes, that's correct.
And the only relevant difference that I can see is that 15% was receiving the LNG and 85% was not, and the 15% that was receiving the LNG, at least according to petitioners, and I believe according to the record, had a higher, demonstrably higher rate of leak than the other 85%. Does the commission deal with that apparent difference between the 15 and the 85? And you can't get there by saying, well, they dealt with coal, they dealt by hot tar. You have to, somewhere, I think, yeah, tell us how they dealt with
the
LNG part and the conventional gas.
The point that the commission was addressing in analysis of causation is who should pay, basically, who should pay to remedy whatever deficiencies arise because of the introduction of LNG. If there is nothing wrong with the Washington gas system, if the scientific evidence would show that, generally speaking, regasified LNG is harmful to pipeline systems, then the commission's appropriate response would be that the sponsors of the LNG project should help to pay for that. There's no scientific evidence that shows, and the commission states it, there's no scientific evidence that shows that regasifying LNG will be harmful to an appropriate gas line.
I'm wrong, but I thought you agreed that petitioners had offered evidence that the leak rate was greater on the part of the system where the LNG was being transported as against the part of the system where conventional natural gas is being transported. Was I wrong about that?
I do not recall there being any evidence in the record about the rest of the system. And the commission has stated that LNG can contribute
Let's
to problems.
Let's put it hypothetically then. If there were record evidence that there was a measurable difference between the two parts of the system, wouldn't the commission be obligated to deal with that evidence before we would afford the deferential standard of review to its decision? I'm not saying that we would say the commission is wrong. I'm simply saying that we can't provide, you can't provide, and we can't accept ex post facto rationalization. So if that evidence that the petitioner says is there, then shouldn't we expect the commission to have dealt with it in determining the allocation of risk? Or allocation of expense for this. Did you understand my question?
I understand your question. The fact of the matter is that there was a lot of evidence in this record as to the cause of the particular leaks on the Washington gas system, and the commission evaluated that evidence in, I would say, exhaustive detail. And that evidence shows that there were certain factors such as marginal couplings on the part of the system receiving the liquefied natural gas and so forth and so forth. The commission considered the evidence that was in front of it. The evidence indicated that the there were difficulties existing already within the Washington Gas system, and under those circumstances, Washington Gas is the entity that needs to bear the burden of repairing them. If there are no more questions?
I see none.
You're not denying, I'm just looking for it, that the petitioner put in evidence about this 16% increase in leaks.
The commission is not denying that there was an increase in leaks. Everybody agrees that there was an increase in leaks on the Washington Gas system.
Part of the system that carried the LNG.
That's right.
All right, once that is in the record, in order for us to hold that the commission has made a reasoned decision based on the record, shouldn't we look for a response to that evidence in the commission's decision?
The commission has responded to the evidence that was directed at the cause of the leaks on the system, and there was a large amount of evidence submitted on the cause of the leaks on the system.
Is there a place where the commission responds to that particular
evidence? You're talking about evidence
of the colliding of, or coalescence, whatever is the right word, of the introduction of natural gas and the increase in leaks.
Yes, it does. Actually, the same references I gave you before.
But in other words, I think what we're trying to understand is the commission says the introduction was not the sole cause. There were these other causes, the couplings, the pressure, the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
That's correct.
All right, so presumably things like pressure, temperature, age, that existed throughout the system. Now you have this spike in this particular area when LNG is introduced. And the commission says, well, that's explainable because of the hot tar on the couplings. And I guess my question is, we would defer to that type of finding by the commission, but what's missing is saying that the couplings were sufficiently degraded such that despite no such 16% spike or any such spike elsewhere, the degradation of the couplings would only account for, I don't know, 6% of the 16%. In other words, it's that that's sort of missing. And maybe it's just that I am not analyzing this correctly, and presumably intervener will tell me why that is not relevant.
Well, I would point you to two pieces of evidence.
Okay.
First is the chart that I mentioned before of the increasing leaks in 2003 when
it just shows up and down, and it shows that when the temperature got cold, you know, you see this spike.
The difficulty,
you don't see this spike throughout the system.
The difficulty is that the LNG was introduced into the system in August of 2003.
No, I'm with you. It's like
okay.
The dog that doesn't bark here.
Yeah.
All right? It gets cold, there are problems. The pressure goes up and down, there are problems. All right? But then there's this big problem in one area.
And as the commission, I will again refer you to JA-578.
Okay.
If there had not been a difficulty with the couplings to begin with, the LNG could have been introduced without a spike in leaks.
I can't think of a good analogy like the chief judge normally does, but you know, if I break my finger, it doesn't mean I can't write. You know, so the couplings weren't perfect, but is that the explanation for
yes.
the 16%? And
the bottom line in this case is going to be, who's going to pay? Who's going to pay? And the commission's looking at the evidence and deciding, based upon the evidence, that there is a problem with the couplings. And yes, maybe the couplings were okay most of the time, but the basic problem arises from the couplings.
And
if the couplings are being okay.
It's a good decision,
that's
but
right.
For us to uphold it, we have to be able to say that the commission has considered and dealt with all the relevant evidence. Now, We asked you what the commission did with the evidence of discrepancy between the 15% and 85%, and you keep giving us a chart that does not deal with that question at all. We may have a hard time saying the commission did deal with the relevant evidence before. As it may well be that the commission could have reached precisely the decision it did here if it had given us an explanation on all the evidence. But we can't affirm on that basis. We have to affirm on the record and decision before us. And I'm not getting a very good answer, neither of us are, to the question we're asking you about where the commission dealt with the apparent discrepancy between 15 and 85. In fact, one time I think you said there was no evidence of that. But I think then you've said on both side ends of it that there was evidence of it.
The evidence that the parties submitted did not address the 85% of the system that has not yet received the increased LNG. The evidence that the parties submitted went to the cause of the leaks in PG County, and that is the evidence that the commission addressed.
So are you saying that we could not look at this record and tell that there was a higher leak rate in PG County than there were in other parts of the system?
Everybody, all the parties agree that there was a higher leak rate in PG County.
Okay. So we take out that part about the parties not addressing the other 85% of the system because they did. You just conceded that they recognized.
I'm sorry.
The parties agree that there was a higher leak rate in the 15% in PG County. That's off the table about it not being in the record. And what we're left with is, what did the commission do with it? That may have been that the commission had a basis in which they thought it wasn't important, but it didn't override the other factors. But you're not telling me where in the record I would find it that the commission did that.
I guess I'm not understanding your question because...
Well, we've put it to you a lot of different ways.
The commission agrees that the liquefied natural gas had an effect. Mm-hmm. The commission agrees. And that differentiates, I guess, in your turn, if this is a question you're asking, that differentiates PG County from the rest of the Washington gas system. The question then becomes, okay, if LNG is going to enter the system, and if there's going to be an increase in leaks, something's going to have to be done about it. There are a whole list of things that can be done about it that's discussed in the recording and in the orders. Once something is going to be done about it, the question is, who pays for it? Who pays for it? The issue in this case is who pays for it. And the commission's conclusion, based upon the record, is that yes, introducing LNG probably had an effect on the leak rate. But in terms of who has to pay for it, the couplings, the subset of couplings in the Washington gas system that the record demonstrates were damaged during installation by the application of hot tar, that is the basic underlying cause for the increase in leak rates, and consequently, Washington Gas is the entity that will have to pay for the mitigation measures.
Okay, before you sit down, I want to find out one thing, because you started out saying the safety is a most important issue for the commission, and you take it very seriously. What I understand the commission to have said here is that the safety issues will be resolved by WGL's repair of the replacement of its defective couplings. Okay, so that's their response on the safety issue. What I want to know is, where in the record is there support for that decision by the commission?
I would point you to, let's see. To JA 533, which is the Washington Gas rehearing request, and in fact, although it's time consuming, the entire Washington Gas rehearing request is informative on this point, because that rehearing request does not say that Washington Gas cannot take whatever mediation measures are necessary. And in fact, at JA 533, the specific page I refer you to, Washington Gas states twice on that page that it will continue to take the steps necessary to protect the safety of its system and its customers. There was no indication in the rehearing request presented to the commission.
But read on. Washington Gas has temporarily reduced the operating pressures on its system in PG County in order to decrease the rate of escaping gas. It's requested construction at its own expense, a new tip.
Yes, those are some of the mitigation measures besides repair of the couplings that Washington Gas took in PG County. It's not just about replacing the couplings, there's other remediation steps that Washington Gas can take. And some of them, of course, do not, they don't have to wait until this project goes into effect to be taking some of these steps.
So your point is it's irrelevant, all these comparisons that we've been asking you about, because the company has said it'll do what's necessary to ensure safety. End of discussion. You pay.
Now, the comparisons, I believe, that we're talking about go to what's the right apportionment of the burden in this case of the repairs. If LNG were a brand new thing in this country, if the Washington Gas system were in good, I'm not saying that they did anything wrong, I'm saying that if hot tar had not been used on the couplings 30 years ago, if it was a brand new system with introduction of LNG, the commission might have said, yeah, you folks are introducing a new kind of gas with new standards, and you should help pay to get the receiving system ready. This is not the case we have here. First of all, the new gas, the new LNG that will be coming in, will meet exactly the same tariff standards. The tariff standards are in both the, as I understand it, the WGL tariff and the Cove Point tariff. The gas will be exactly the same as has been going through. Nothing new about that. And the additional fact that the commission found is that there's a problem with the system. The Washington Gas system should be able to accept the LNG. There's no scientific evidence that LNG will affect a normal distribution system. And under those circumstances, it's Washington Gas, not the sponsors of the project, that should be responsible for remedying the situation.
But what I'm asking you is, how does FERC know that Washington Gas will be able to replace all of the potentially problematic couplings before this expansion is completed? And if I understand your response, it's just FERC knows this because the company hasn't said they can't. Is that your answer?
Well, there's actually several answers. First, the company has, at least to FERC, said, we will fix this. Second, it has fixed it. These leaks are fixable. They were fixed in PG County. Third, when there's a leak problem on the Long Island Lighting Company, those were fixable and they were fixed. Fourth, there are other mitigation measures besides fixing the couplings, which are listed in the record and in the orders. And the other thing is that these leaks are leaks, basically class two leaks, which under the regulations, a company can take up to 15 months to repair. So there's time in all of this. And finally, although the commission says we don't see any problems in the company being able to take care of this, there's a condition in the certificate order, condition number two, which says that the commission reserves the authority if in the case of some threat to life or property or the environment, the commission can order the LNG facility to cease operations. So there's a backstop. If everything the commission has said turns out to be incorrect, there's a backstop. But again, I think the evidence in the record really supports the conclusions reached by the commission.
Thank you, Council. We'll hear from the intervener.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Christopher Handman. I represent Dominion Transmission and Dominion Cove Point. Chief Judge Santel, the answer to the question is that the commission did acknowledge that the low concentrations of the C5 could have an effect on the increased leak rates. And no one disputes that, of course, those portions of Prince George's County did have increased leak rates compared to the portions that weren't receiving LNG. That's not a dispute, nor is it any impediment to this court affirming what the commission did. What the commission concluded was that in a properly maintained gas distribution system, there is simply, as the commission said, quote, no scientific evidence that there are any safety issues with regasified LNG. And that's an important consideration. The idea is that if you have a proper system from the get-go, the other factors, be they temperature or C5 or whatever else it may be, are not going to produce leaks. And Judge Rogers, searching for the analogy, I think the analogy to knock down, I think, the logical fallacy that the petitioners have put forward, this idea that everything else worked fine, the only thing that changed was C5 in Prince George's County, ergo LNG must be the problem. The analogy is if the state of Maryland were to build a highway but use improperly soft asphalt, but for years prohibited semi-trucks from traveling down there, the road might hold up fine for years. But if you open up semis to the right lane and that right lane begins to crumble and the left lane continues to do fine, you don't conclude that semi-trucks are inherently dangerous and we ban semi-trucks. You conclude in that case, based on expertise of, let's say, the NTSB, here the agency with expertise.
I think your analogy is excellent. I'll take it just a little bit farther.
Okay.
So this year is not banning the trucks. It's whether some of the cost should be allocated to those who are running the trucks or to those who are buying the goods which the trucks transport, as opposed to being simply upon those who maintain the highway.
Yes.
Shouldn't we expect whatever commission was reviewing the highway situation to have told us how they reasoned in deciding that none of the expense, that all the expense should be on the highway maintenance rather than on the transporter or the receiver of the goods?
I think that would only be relevant if that were part of the proceeding. This proceeding was not about rate making. This proceeding was a Section 3 and a Section 7 certificate for approval. Rate making was not at issue, and that can be a separate issue.
Well, not literally, but wasn't it in the background of this whole thing?
I don't think anyone will dispute that really what's going on here is who's going to ultimately.
The gas is going to be regasified liquid natural gas is
right.
Going to be shipped.
Yes.
The real question here is going to be who's paying.
I think that it is going to be a question that's certainly a commission, and that's a question that to some degree the Maryland Public Service Commission has already taken up. It's considering those questions. But this court is reviewing these orders, and these orders were not about rate making. They were not about cost. And if you read the petitioner's briefs carefully, and certainly their submissions below, they were never asking for a remedy to be paid here. They were simply, in rather conclusory terms, simply saying the commission shouldn't approve this until it thinks about these issues. Well, the commission has thought about these issues, and it's thought about them quite seriously. If you look
But the petitioner comes back and says one of the things that the commission says is that the system has not been properly maintained. And the petitioner comes back and says, well, when we did what you're saying causes the current problem, that was an industry standard. It was accepted practice. So there's no evidence that we haven't properly maintained the system. And I wondered in your analogy when they put in the soft concrete, I mean, was that the standard at the time? Now you have these heavy trucks coming on, and does the highway fund bear all the cost?
Well, again, I think it's important, Judge Rogers, to recognize that cost really isn't the issue in this case. And I think
The agency keeps telling us it is.
I don't think the agency is saying that cost.
Well, counsel today told us several times that's what this case is about.
I think that.
Well, I'll take your point as well, too.
Sure.
Okay.
And I think that just to talk about those industry standards for a second, it is whether they were industry standards or not, it is undisputed that on this record, the application of 400-degree hot tar to these couplings had a debilitating effect, at least on a subset of those couplings. And you need only look at the expert report of the petitioners.
But isn't the argument that but for LNG being introduced, the system, there wouldn't have been any increase in leaks? That's the only issue here. And that's why I thought we kept asking for where can we find that the commission took this into account, that's all.
Sure, and you can find where the commission took this into account. You can look at page 564 of the joint appendix, where the commission concludes that there's no scientific evidence that regasified LNG will present any safety issues in a properly maintained gas distribution system. You can look at page 85 of the joint appendix.
Well, it says no scientific evidence that regasified LNG presents safety issues in a properly maintained gas distribution system.
Right.
And the compromised seals on WLG system can be remedied before Cove Point's expansion project is placed in service. And I thought that's what Judge Brown, some of her questions were getting at.
Yes, and with respect to the couplings that were actually at issue in this case on which evidence was produced, there's no dispute that those couplings can and will be replaced. The petitioners have conceded that point consistently in the agency proceedings, that everything in the affected area will be remedied by the end of 2007, it was supposed to be, long before the Cove Point project comes online.
When does that project come online?
It's been publicly announced for November of 2008 of this year.
Okay.
And you can see in their public filings with the SEC, this is at page 169 and 170 of the joint appendix, they represent to their shareholders that the problem is under control, that they can use hexane injections, that all of the couplings in the affected area at a cost of $140 million will be remedied completely. And of course, we know it can be remedied because that was the experience of the Long Island Lighting Company. They replaced their, again, as the commission found, a substandard set of couplings there, which contributed to the leak once it was exposed to the LNG, and they replaced those couplings. It's also important to recognize that there is, in fact, no, as their own expert recognized, fundamental incompatibility between this gas and a proper system. And in fact, if you look at the record at page 730, they can see that three gates directly off the Cove Point pipeline for the past 2 years, which have received nothing but unblended LNG, have had no leaks on those systems. So other parts of their systems have been exposed to unblended LNG. Now, they say the reason is that those are more recent experiences. They have newer couplings or no couplings at all, newer technology. But that only underscores that in a proper system, you're not going to have those leaks. And I think, getting back to your question, Judge Rogers, about whether there is any evidence that this is an issue about the couplings themselves, I think there's overwhelming and certainly substantial evidence on this point. Their own expert recognized it, again, at page 85, that these sorts of seals should be expected to last, quote, for decades, end quote, if exposed to nothing but unblended LNG. That's their own expert's opinion. That was confirmed by Mr. McMurray during the hearing, and it was confirmed by the other expert testimony that the commission considered. The commission exercised its technical expertise and concluded, quite rightly, that in this case, where you have a proper system and where that system can be repaired, you are not going to have problems with LNG.
Will the petitioners, and I probably should have responded to this, but I'll ask the petitioner in a minute, will the petitioners be able to relitigate the question of allegation of costs in a rate-making proceeding, or is that fixed by this certificate?
No, they are always entitled to a petition under Section 5 of the Natural Gas Act to change the tariff. Of course, the tariff as it exists right now is simply going to ensure that they receive the same gas that they've been receiving for the past 2 years, a tariff that they agreed to through privately ordered negotiation, that they agreed that under scientific studies, the TIAC study that they consented to, recognizes that this is perfectly legitimate gas. And again, there's a bit of a scare factor that LNG represents some new radical way or new composition chemically. That's not true. There's plenty of natural gas that occurs in the Rockies and Appalachia from Canada.
This is imported.
I'm sorry?
It's imported, so it's not quite the same as
But it, when you look at it under, probably not a microscope, but whatever the scientific equivalent of that would be, you're going to see it looks exactly the same in terms of the composition of C5, which is the key attribute that the petitioners have latched onto. All of those gases that I have mentioned are in fact drier in some sense than the regasified LNG that is at issue in this case. Finally, when it comes to the comparative analysis that Ms. Heffernan mentioned, there's no need to conduct a comparative analysis to determine which factor is more important than the other, because the ultimate bottom line conclusion of the commission was that where you have a proper system, it's not flawed from the outset, where you don't have these compromised seals,
there are multiple proximate causes for those of us who were common law lawyers, if you eliminate one of them, you've eliminated the problem.
That's exactly correct. And you can find that support for that. The commission acknowledged the confluence of circumstances at page 456. page 581 of the appendix, they recognized that temperature will have a greater impact than the gasified or the C5. And that's consistent, again, with their own expert testimony. There's again.
We have further questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Your time, we took you way over your time, as has become our habit. And you have a minute and a half left. We'll round you up to 2 minutes.
All right.
We'll probably talk you over that. Go ahead.
Okay. First, let me start by saying there is record evidence about the rest of the system. I would refer the court to JA 329, 330, which provides a bar chart and then a pie chart comparison of
leak.
I'm sorry, yes, JA 329 and JA 330. And actually, there's repetitive sites on this point.
Now, that I think we all agree.
Yeah.
The
record is filled.
Why isn't intervener correct that we can accept that fact, and it is still, this is still not a rate-making case. This is a question as to whether the public interest is served by the introduction of the regasified natural gas, the regasified liquid natural gas, and that the commission has dealt with the safety factors, and we should affirm on the record we have now.
Well, we do agree it's not a rate case, a rate making case, and we disagreed with the statements that counsel for the commission was making about it was about costs. This case is about safety, and it's a Section 7 and 3 case, public convenience and necessity, that includes safety. However, as Your Honor commented, costs follow pretty quickly behind that. So once a proper.
I think that has a lot to do with why we're here.
Of course. And Marcia, so once one figures out exactly what needs to be done, then someone has to do it. And there are cost consequences related to that. Yes, Counsel for Dominion is technically correct that we could bring a claim. But for cost recovery in another proceeding, with this order, if this order is affirmed by the court, which finds us at fault for having, you know, defective facilities, I don't think chances are very good of recovering any dollars.
The bottom line we're affirming here, though, is whether or not the commission's record supports the conclusion that the gas can be safely delivered.
And given that the commission did not look at the. Never looked at, to directly answer one question you had for the Commission's counsel, the Commission never addressed the fact that LNG is unique to Prince George's County. And by the way, it's not a 16% increase, it's 16-fold. They went from about an average of 60 leaks a year to over 1,000. And FERC did not look at what was going to happen when that gas came into the other 85% of the system. And the statements in our rehearing request refer to the, quote, affected area. That's the 15%. That's what we were saying at JA 533. The 15% that was already receiving LNG could be repaired by the end of 2000, and it was. That has nothing at all to do with how long it would take to repair couplings in the additional remaining 85% that is about to receive LNG. The commission did not look at that evidence at all. We have the experience of a year and a half for 15%. So it's at least, I'm not that good at math, so it's a lot more. It's many, many years, and that assumes getting, you know, being able to find adequate work crews to do this much work, which is an issue as well. I'd also point out.
My colleagues have questions. As I predicted, I talked you over your time this time, and unless there are further questions, it's time to get up. Seeing none, the case is submitted.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.